This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
And we find in the seerah it's quite unlike today. Today there's a few converts and a lot of born Muslims. Back then, there were very few born Muslims, maybe the children of the Sahaba, and everybody else was a convert. And their stories, subhanAllah, you can read the seerah just to learn from their amazing stories. Suhayb bin Sinan of Rumi, one of my favorites, Byzantine, Greek. Enslaved by the Greeks, escapes, goes to Mecca, which is outside the reach of the Byzantines. And he hears that there is this monotheist who is speaking out fearlessly against injustice. And remember, this is the time when the Muslims are praying secretly in the house of Al-Arqam ibn Abi al-Arqam, and they're being persecuted and killed, and families are separated, and some have gone to Ethiopia. At the most dangerous time, he says, I want this. So he goes to the house of Al-Arqam, and there is Ammar bin Yasir, one of the great Sahaba, who converts with him. And this, of course, turns his life upside down. He's become quite prosperous in Mecca, but now they won't let him leave. And when the hijrah happens, they guard his house. Quraysh will not allow him to join the Muslims. He has money. They don't want that money to go to the cause of the new believers in Yathrib. But he escapes. He says, I'm going to answer a call of nature. Under his clothes, he's concealed his bow and arrow. He's determined to get to Medina. Somehow, nowadays, it's a high-speed train. Back then, a difficult, dangerous adventure. Lions in the desert, predators, human and animal. He doesn't come back, and they start to look for him, and they find him in one of the hills outside Mecca with his bow and arrow, and he says, I'm going to pick you off one by one unless you let me go. They still come. And then he says, if I tell you where my wealth is hidden, will you let me go? Smiles on the face of Quraysh, and he's allowed to go, because that's what they care about. And he comes, after more adventures that I have time to tell, to the city of Medina, and he goes, of course, to the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who is the light of his heart. The Holy Prophet is so happy to see him. And he says, Rabihat tijaratuka ya Aba Yahya. Your business has just prospered, Abu Yahya. And it said that it was on this occasion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse, وَمَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ, which is in Surah Al-Baqarah. Amongst those are some who pay for their own selves in order to please Allah. A great one. And he becomes elevated. We know that he recites and relates many hadiths. We know that when Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu is martyred in his mosque, who leads the prayers while they're choosing his successor? It's Suhayb. Not some big shot Arab from a major tribe, but the refugee, the asylum seeker, the new Muslim is in there. That's how the Sahaba were. They looked for the best. Salman al-Farisi, another amazing story. Extraordinary story of a spiritual seeker. If you go to Iraq, there's a town near Baghdad called Salman Park. They have the Persian name for it. That's where he's buried. That's where he lived his life, in Al-Madain. Famous for the purity of his soul. Famous for being the governor of Al-Madain, which is the former Persian capital of Ctesiphon, one of the most magnificent cities of the world. Taqi Kisra, the arch of Khosrow, is still there. It's still the second biggest brick arch anywhere in the world. The Persians had magnificent palaces. He wouldn't live in the palace. He was given 5,000 dirhams a year salary. It went to the poor. He wouldn't accept a penny. وَكَانَ يَعْمَلُ فِي الْعِيسِ وَيَأْكُلُ مِنْ عَمَلِ يَدِهِ. When he wanted to earn something, he would go to a date farm and work in the date farm, and that would be his income. He refused to accept any salary. He was known for his justice, and everybody loved him of all of the religions. Salman al-Khair, they call him. Salman the Good. Salman the Persian. Look at how Islam takes these noble people and makes them into miracle administrators. What is a provincial governor like today in the Iraq or the Middle East? Well, he's probably not saying no to his salary. Let's not say too much about it. But those people, miracle men and women, subhanAllah. His story. his story. كنت رجلا فارسيا من أهل إصفهان وكان أبي دهقان قريته. He said, narrated the story to Abdullah bin Abbas later in his life. The amazing story. He said, I was a Persian man in the city of Isfahan, and my father was a wealthy landowner. And then it seems there was some kind of abuse. وَكَانُ يُحِبُّنِي حُبًّا شَدِيدًا وَحَبَسَنِي فِي بَيْتِي. My father loved me more than anything, but he kept me locked up in the house. He was afraid that this young man would come to some harm. Didn't enjoy this. وَكُنْتُ أَجْتَهِدُ فِي الْمَجُوسِيَّةِ حَتَّى كُنْتُ قَطْنَ النَّارِ الَّذِي يُقِدُهَا. And I used to make great efforts in the Zoroastrian religion until I became the custodian of the holy flame, the one who looks after the flame and lights it and maintains it, like a Zoroastrian priest. And then one day, his father, who is busy, sends him to the day'a, to the big estate, to check on something. And on his way, he says, وَمَرَرْتُ بِكَنِيسَ مِنْ كَنَائِسِ النَّصَارَى. I went past one of the Christian churches. وَسَمِعْتُ صَوْتَ صَلَاتِهِمْ. And I heard the sound of their prayers and I went in. فَأَعْجَبَتْنِي صَلَاتُهُمْ وَهَيْئَتُهُمْ. And I liked this and I spent the rest of the day with them. And I said, مَا أَصْلُ هَذَا الدِّينَ. Where does this religion come from? And they said, from Syria, Palestine, Fisham. That night I go back and my father is in a frenzy. Where have you been? And he's angry. And his father chains him to the wall. جَعَلَ عَلَى رِجْلِي قَيْدًا فَحَبَسَنِي فِي بَيْتِهِ. So I was chained as the beloved son of my father, couldn't leave the house. But I sent a message to the local people in that church saying, if you hear of anybody who's going to Syria, then let me know. A caravan comes. He escapes from the chain and goes, فَخَرَجْتُ مَعَهُمْ إِلَى بِلَادِ الشَّامِ. And I went with them to the land of Syria. Never goes back to Persia. So he goes to Syria and he says, who is the best of the people here? And they say, Al-Uskuf fil-Qanisa, the bishop in that church. So he goes to study with him and says, can I be your disciple? Now what Salman Ipak is looking for is spiritual light, truth. He's on a vision quest. He wants to inhale the reality of Al-Wahid, not just to learn rules, but he wants spirituality. So he stays with this bishop, but then he says, Kana rajul as-sawt, as he describes it later to Ibn Abbas. He was a bad man. He would take charity from people and keep it in his house until he filled 7 clay vessels full of gold and silver coins. And then the priest died, and the people came, and he said, this was a bad man. And he showed them the vessels, and the people were very angry. And they took him out of his grave. فَصَلَبُوهُ وَرَجَمُوهُ بِالْجِمَارِ. And they crucified the corpse and they threw stones at it. They were so disgusted. And then the next man comes along. He's a little bit better. So he's on a quest. He wants to know, where is the light? Where is the truth? And each time he's making a bit of progress, but he's still dissatisfied. And then this priest on his deathbed says, there's somebody else in this age of decadence. ذهب الناس. People are no longer what they used to be. Go to this person in Mosul. And he does the same thing with the spiritual teacher in Mosul. Still not quite satisfied, but he's making progress. And then he goes to the town of Nisibin, same thing. And then he's sent to the town of Amuriya, which is now somewhere in the middle of Turkey. And here he studies with this person, he fasts with him, he prays with him. It's a basic form of asceticism. And then that man says, when he's approaching his death, says, I know. I have seen قَدْ أَظَلَّنَا زَمَانُ نَبِيٍّ يَخْرُجُ بِأَرْضِ الْعَرَبِ. This is a man who's seen something. He says, this is almost the time of a prophet who will emerge from the land of the Arabs. Salman asks for more. And he says, مُهَاجِرُهُ بَيْنَ الْحَرَّتَيْنِ بِهِ نَخَلْ يَأْكُلُ الْهَدِيَّ وَلَا يَأْكُلُ الصَّدَقَةِ بَيْنَ كَتِفَيْهِ خَتَمَ النُّبُوَّةِ. He gives him these signs that in some way the spiritual person has noted. This is the guide of the time. This is the man who will finally unlock your heart. Who is he? He describes him. In the land of the Arabs, in the land of date palms, between two lava plains, the Hararatain of Medina. It's clear that this is where it is. And he eats from gifts, but he doesn't eat the sadaqah. And between his shoulders, there is the mark, the khatam, the symbol of prophecy. And the man dies. Salman Pak, poor. This is the day of bad times, of bad communications. He's up there in the north in the Greek lands. But he finds a caravan who are traveling from Bani Kelb. And he says, if I give you everything I have, and he has by this time some animals, cows, goats, will you take me with you to the Arab lands? They agree. But then he says, Zalamuni, when we reached Arabia, Wadi al-Qura in the north of Arabia, a little oasis, Zalamuni wa ba'uni li rajulin yahudiyin abda. They sold me as a slave to a Jewish man. Great misfortune. How is he going to get out of this? Salman sees the date palms and thinks, maybe this is it, but it's not. He works there in the farm. And then his owner sells him to a relative who takes him to Yathrib. Yathrib has the fragrance, but the Holy Prophet is not there yet. He's still in Mecca. And then when Salman al-Farisi is working at the top of a date tree, you have to climb, it's hard work, and pick the dates. وَصَاحِبِي جَالِسٌ تَحْتِي. And my owner was sitting at the bottom of the tree, so he'd throw down the dates to him. There was a tremendous noise, tremendous sound. And I felt something in my heart, like a kind of shaking. And then I heard the sound, the Jews were shouting. And they said, may Allah rectify Bani Qayla. That was their word for the Arabs, the non-Jews of Medina. جَاءَهُمُ الْيَوْمُ رَجُلٌ مِّن مَكَّةَ يَزْعُمُ أَنَّهُ نَبِيٌّ. Today there's come to them in the town of Quba a man who claims that he's a prophet. And he's so excited. He disobeys orders. He comes down from his tree and he says, ماذا تقول to these people? What are you saying? What are you saying? فَلَكَ مَنِي صَاحِبِي لَكْمَةً شَدِيدًا. And my owner beat me and beat me. There's nothing I could do. But then that evening after work, Salman al-Farisi gets some of the food that he has stored up, small amount, and he goes to Quba. And he goes to the Chosen One, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he offers this, saying, this is sadaqah. Note the wisdom of the man. He's already been disappointed by spiritual guides who turn out not to be right. This is what we should always do if we're going to a peer or a murshid or a sheikh. Be certain. Be careful. You don't want ugly hands to be touching your soul. This is important. So it's like he's testing him. And he sees that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives the food to his sahaba, وَلَمْ يَمُدْ يَدَهُ إِلَيْهِ. He doesn't put his own hand toward it. And he says, هَذِهِ وَاحِدًا. It's one of the conditions that's been fulfilled. ثُمَّ تَحَوَّلَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ فَجِئْتُهُ مَرَّةً أُخْرَى. So the Holy Prophet goes to Medina after that, and then I come to him again, again with a gift. And I said, رَأَيْتُ أَنَّكَ لَا تَأْكُلُ الصَّدَقَةَ وَهَذِهِ هَدِيَةَ. I've seen that you don't eat sadaqah, but this is a gift. وَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَكَلَ مِنْهَا وَأَكَلَ مِنْهَا أَصْحَابُهُ. Holy Prophet ate it and gave it to his companions as well. So Salman says, هَاتَانِ ثِنْتَانِ. Two now. He's getting more excited. And then he wants to know about this khatam. The one thing that remains is, how is he going to see this sign, this miraculous thing on the back of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So he has an idea. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yahduru janazatan min al-janais fi Baqi' al-Gharqad. The Holy Prophet was attending a funeral in Baqi'. And Salman says that he took a robe for him. And he gives this robe to the Holy Prophet. And he helps it on with it. ورسولullah صلى الله عليه وسلم أنزل رداءه, took his shirt off. فرأيت بين كتفيه علم النبوة. I saw the sign of prophecy between his blessed shoulder blades. فجعلت أكب عليه وأقبله. And then I embraced him, and I kissed him. وأبكي. And I was weeping. He'd found his guide. He'd found the spiritual master of the time. Well, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, rest, tell me your story. That was the beginning of his story in Islam, the opening of his heart, the fullness of monotheism. But he's still a slave. And his owner doesn't want to sell him or liberate him. And he fixes a really high price. So Salman misses the early battles. He misses Badr. He misses Uhud. He can't get away. And his owner has said, I want, in order to release you, this Mukataba, 300 palm saplings and 40 ounces of gold. It's a fortune. Salman is disconsolate. Goes to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who calls his Sahaba, and together each of them comes up with one little palm sapling until they have 200, and then they go and they dig, and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself plants each one of the 200, and Salman afterwards says, wallahi, not one of them died, not one of those saplings died. That's half of the Mukataba. And then the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives Salman a small piece of gold, small like a pigeon's egg or something. قال يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أين هذا من هذا؟ What is this compared to the great weight of my debt? He says, خذها, take it. So I went and I started measuring it out. And I measured it out, and I measured it out. This is a prophetic miracle. حتى بلغت أربعين أوقية, until 40 ounces were there. فعتق سلمان, and Salman was free. With his beloved, with his spiritual guide. Subhanallah. And of course, he is the one who digs the trench that saves Medina, the Khandaq. It was his idea, a Persian idea, not an Arab idea. Quraysh can't get past it. He saves the city. Quite a repayment. And he becomes Salman al-Khair, Salman the Good, the narrator of Hadith, the one who doesn't care about the dunya because of the teachings that he's received from his spiritual guide and from the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A wonder. The one who rules Ctesiphon pays no attention to its treasures. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this once again an age of the Muhtadi, of those who are guided to Islam, and to learn their stories and to be inspired and to see how we can help them, how we can be the Ansar to these people of spiritual hijrah, inshallah, so that the Ummah will continue to grow and will continue to grow in spirit and sincerity, inshallah.